Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 24th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
global stocks plunge as the coronavirus spreads worldwide.
Cases surge in South Korea and Italy, with 50,000 people on lockdown near Milan.
Gold surges, oil tumbles, and treasury yields plummet as 30-year yields hit a record low.
India gives a big welcome to President Trump.
To every citizen across this nation, America loves India.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A win for the Islanders. They beat the Sharks at the Coliseum. College basketball. Seton Hall routed St. John's. Rutgers lost at Wisconsin.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Asset managers don't get results that are off the charts when their solutions are off the shelf. Learn how SEI's operating platform can turn infrastructure into a competitive advantage at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are plummeting as the coronavirus spreads around the globe. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 80 points. Dow futures down 712. NASDAQ futures are down 278. That's down 2.9%. The DAX in Germany is down 3.5%. So is the CAC in Paris. And the FTSE 100 is down 3.1%. 10-year Treasury up 23/32, yield 1.39%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.27%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.5%, or $1.87 at $51.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 2.25%, or $36.90 at $16.85.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0818 against the dollar. The yen 111.29. Nathan.
Karen, we begin today with cases of the coronavirus surging outside of China. In South Korea, there are more than 200 new infections just today. We begin our Bloomberg Radio team coverage with G.A. Lee reporting from Seoul.
It was just a count of 30-something cases in South Korea just on Tuesday. Now we're looking at a figure of over 600. The government officials have been constantly urging people from taking part in mass assemblies. This includes religious activities, prioritizing stopping the outbreak of this epidemic.
And the death toll in South Korea is at 7. Meanwhile, in Europe, Italy is now the epicenter of the outbreak, leading the government to lock down an area of 50,000 people near Milan. We get the latest on the situation there from Bloomberg's Alessandro Speciale in Rome.
It hasn't yet been clear why and how the virus arrived in Italy. What is sure is that for days, a person in the north of Italy was in hospital and he wasn't diagnosed with coronavirus, and this has helped spread to hundreds of people. The latest count is 152. Italy had stopped all flights to China, which surprisingly meant that people coming back from China couldn't be traces coming from China because they were coming via other cities. And this probably has also helped the spread of the virus.
The spread in Italy is now posing serious concerns about economic growth in Europe. For more on that, we continue our Bloomberg Radio team coverage with Nikos Chrysalaris in Brussels.
Italy's economy was barely projected to grow this year, and that was even before quarantines were imposed to contain the viral outbreak. And Germany, the euro area's biggest economy, and the region's other growth laggard, is the one most exposed to the disruption of global trade and supply chains caused by the virus. So, in other words, unless this is immediately contained, the illness could derail euro area growth prospects for this year.
Meantime, in China, the epicenter of this outbreak, infections continue to climb. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The top line number for total infections now here in China is 77,150. The death count has now gone to 2,592. That's an additional 150 deaths. And in terms of the cases, you're seeing an extra 409 infection cases that are being reported from China today. The vast majority from Hubei province, of course, the epicenter of this virus.
Wuhan, ground zero for the outbreak, announced plans to relax quarantine measures that would have allowed people to start leaving the city. The government is now retracting that statement, saying the quarantine will instead stay in place.
The fallout in financial markets is dramatic. We continue our Bloomberg Radio team coverage with a look at the impact in Asia. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Shares in Seoul bore the brunt of the losses. The Kospi was down 3.9%, its biggest one-day drop since October 2018, while the won tested August lows. Elsewhere, the Aussie dollar remained at 11-year lows, and the ASX 200 had its worst session in 6 months, down 2.3% in Sydney. Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong were also down sharply, while Malaysia's ringgit and equity market were roiled by domestic political developments. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Meantime, stocks in Europe are getting hit the hardest. For the latest there, we're joined live by Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker in London. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Stock 600 are plunging 3.4% right now, with all industry groups being sold off. EasyJet, Ryanair, Air France, the biggest decliners, along with miners and car makers. With over 150 coronavirus infections in Italy, the most in Europe, the FTSE MIB is plunging 4.3%. That's the most since 2016. As the Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte's government tries to arrest the spread. Also battered, Germany's DAX, the CAC 40 in Paris, and the FTSE 100 here in London, all down well over 3% just a couple of hours into European trading. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Caroline, thanks. A meeting of G20 leaders in Riyadh over the weekend was dominated by talk of the coronavirus. We spoke with French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire at the event.
There will be an impact, that's for sure. There will be an impact on the level of growth in Europe and in the rest of the world. But now there is clearly a need for a day-by-day monitoring, and that's exactly what we have decided within the G20, and I think that's a right step in the right direction.
It's increasingly unclear how this outbreak could play out. That uncertainty is looming large in markets. We spoke with Douglas Flint, chairman of Standard Life Aberdeen, on the sidelines of the G20 summit.
It's a stress test for China. It's a stress test for the world. It's a stress test for supply chains. Hopefully we'll come out of it stronger with the knowledge that we'll have gained with how to deal with this pandemic and how we think about it economically. But it's an unknown unknown at the moment.
And Treasury yields are plummeting this morning. The 30-year is trading near a record low 1.84%. This is Bloomberg. And at 5:07 on Wall Street, we get a check now of the latest world and national news headlines on this Monday morning with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. India poured on the pageantry with a joyful, colorful welcome for President Trump today that kicks off a whirlwind 36-hour visit meant to reaffirm U.S.-India ties. President Trump greeted the crowd of more than 100,000 people at a cricket stadium.
Your nation has always been admired around the earth as the place where millions upon millions of Hindus and Muslims and Sikhs and Jains, Buddhists, Christians and Jews worship side by side. In harmony.
During the president's visit, the two sides will aim to reset relations that have been buffeted by a trade spat. President Trump's top security aide said he sees no evidence that Russia is interfering in the 2020 U.S. election in an effort to support the president's reelection bid. Meanwhile, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien says that it would be no surprise if Moscow was trying to help Senator Bernie Sanders. O'Brien also says President Trump was not and is not angry at former acting National Intelligence Director Joseph McGuire. O'Brien told ABC's This Week the timing of McGuire's resignation had nothing to do with his briefing Congress about Russia trying to help Trump win the 2020 election.
That's not true. I was in that meeting, and the president was not angry with Joe McGuire. He thinks very highly of Admiral McGuire and would have liked him to stay in government in a different role. But as you know, Admiral McGuire's time as the acting DNI was up.
O'Brien spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Now leading the Democratic presidential candidates after the Nevada caucuses, Senator Bernie Sanders campaigned in Texas. Sanders told a crowd at the University of Houston, Americans are tired of a president who only looks out for himself.
Whatever your political view may be, the people are sick and tired of lies, corruption, and fraud.
Tomorrow, the candidates will hold a Democratic debate in South Carolina. The jury in the Harvey Weinstein sexual assault trial will resume deliberations today in New York. The jury has indicated that it is split on the most serious counts against the disgraced movie mogul. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, a week after Mets slugger Yoenis Cespedes told reporters at spring training that he wasn't talky, not today, not tomorrow, not all season. He apparently changed his mind, spoke through an interpreter about his injuries, his contract going into the final season. Cespedes expressed optimism that he'll be in the starting lineup opening day next month. He's hardly played the last two seasons. Mets and Cardinals, 3-3 tie in Port St. Lucie. Steven Matsdarice, Familia, and Robert Gazelman all pitched. New outfielder Jake Marisnyk with a home run. Mets got him from the Astros. Everything that has happened with them began with the accusations made by ex-Astros pitcher Mike Fiers. Now with Oakland, Fiers pitched yesterday, got a big ovation from fans. He has not spoken about the scandal. In Port Charlotte, the Yankees lost to Tampa Bay 9-7, but a home run for Miguel Andujar, who had the great rookie season, was injured almost all of last season at the Coliseum. Islanders and Sharks.
Matt Barzell able to escape, got the pass back from Tase, slips past Gambrell, gives to Anders Lee. Lee with a shot, he scores! Two already for Anders Lee, and the Islanders strike early here in the second.
A pair of goals for Lee later in assist. Isles beat San Jose 4-1. College basketball, Seton Hall continues to lead the Big East. Easy home win over St. John's, 81-65. 20th win for the Pirates. Rutgers, 17-1 at home, 1-7 on the road. Scarlet Knights lost to Wisconsin, 79-71. Lakers beat the Celtics by a point on a LeBron James fadeaway in the final minute. Patrick Reed won the golf in Mexico by a shot over Bryson DeChambeau by two over John Rahm. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures lower by almost 84 points now, down 2.5%. Dow futures also down 2.5%, lower by 740 points. NASDAQ futures, a loss of 290 points. That is a drop of almost 3.1%. 10-year Treasury yield 1.39%, the 2-year 1.28. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by the COVID Atlantis. Paradise is an island and closer than you think. Catch a flight to the Bahamas and head to the Cove on Paradise Island. Stay at the Cove, play at Atlantis. Visit the COVIDAtlantisBahamas.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are tumbling globally alongside U.S. stock index futures as nations struggle to keep the coronavirus epidemic from spreading further beyond China. Treasuries are jumping along with gold. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 82 points or about 2.5%. Dow futures down 727 and NASDAQ futures down 283. The DAX in Germany is down 3.5%. CAC in Paris down 3.6%. And the FTSE 100 is down 3.25%. 10-year Treasury up 22 32nds, yield 1.39%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.28%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.5% or $1.89 to $51.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 2.1%, up $34.40 at $16.83.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0820 against the dollar. British pound 1.2906. And the yen is at 111.30. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump is receiving the well wishes of hundreds of thousands of Indians as he kicks off a whirlwind 36-hour visit to India. The visit is meant to reaffirm ties between the two nations. Trump has addressed a mega rally at a huge cricket stadium, and later Trump and First Lady Melania Trump will tour the famed Taj Mahal. This afternoon, fans will gather to honor NBA legend Kobe Bryant. The public memorial for Bryant and his daughter Gianna will take place at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. They were killed in a helicopter crash along with seven others. As for NBA games Sunday, the Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors all lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Patrick Palfrey joins us now, senior equity strategist at Credit Suisse. Thanks for being with us this morning, Patrick, as we continue to watch this massive sell-off in equity markets around the world. What most has your eye this morning?
Well, I think right now what our focus is on is really two things. Is number one, what is the spread of the coronavirus outside of China? I think that's really where we are seeing a lot of attention. Historically, it was believed to be that the pace of growth in China has been contained, but to see places like Italy and South Korea see a pickup in cases is somewhat concerning and something that we're keeping an eye on. And the second thing is really the collapse in interest rates. The 10-year now, as of Friday, was down around 1.45. Indicating lower again. I think that is an area where investors need to pay attention as we're seeing the yield curve begin to invert across much of the belly of the curve. And what that does is it incrementally makes financial conditions tighter.
Let's get to both of your points. First off, the sell-off in Italy, we are seeing broad selling there with the FTSE MIB now down about 4 1/3. What is the concern in Italy? Is there a risk that the sell-off like this could have a spillover effect throughout Europe?
I mean, certainly, I think as we previously believed that the virus was, I would say, well contained, I think it causes question whether or not it is, and to what extent we have the ability to curtail its spread. So I think that's really the concern. So in terms of elsewhere in the region, I would expect equity indices around not only Europe, but also around the world to be selling off in sympathy with Italy.
We're reporting this morning that the Italian government is considering emergency measures, including a suspension of local tax payments, as well as other fiscal stimulus measures. Is there more that could be done to give some sort of lift to markets in Italy?
Well, I think, you know, I like to divide the issues into something that's transitory and something that's permanent. If it's a transitory transaction, then it's something that we will likely pick back up. So if it's a factory buying a piece of equipment, the need for that piece of equipment will likely just be purchased either a month or a quarter down the road. In the areas where you have a permanent loss, in that case it's a restaurant or a store where that is just going to be a lost sale, I think that's somewhat more problematic. So I think the loss and the permanence of some of these type of sales is definitely tough, but it's really how much of it's transitory and how much of it can we get back once the concerns start to dissipate.
And you mentioned Treasury yields heading toward inversion, and we're very closely watching the 30-year yield this morning. It's close to a record low right now, 1.84%. Is this raising your concern about recession in the U.S.?
So what's interesting is we had a similar set of conditions last year where we had an inversion across much of the yield curve, but yet equity still did pretty well. And I think what you have is an interesting dynamic. It's not necessarily recessionary in its signal. You know, there are certain dynamics around the world, global overseas reach for yield, which is pressuring the long end of the curve. But what it does do is it does curtail risk-taking amongst investors. Many investors use the shape of the curve as a measure for how much leverage they use and how much risk they're willing to employ. So the inversion is certainly problematic from a risk-taking perspective, and less so from its recessionary signal perspective.
And in about our last minute here, as we see this risk-off sentiment pervading markets this morning, what are you going to be looking for further in terms of equity markets?
So I think with the curve flattening and some of the concerns around the world, what we are looking for really is for that low vol trade, which had been working for the past several months, to really resume working, and for that secular growth trade to also begin. What's going to underperform in this environment on a relative basis is going to be that value trade, which many investors had hoped would pick up as we had moved from September. So focus on those stocks in the low vol and the secular growth trade.
Thanks again, Patrick. Good, as always, speaking with you. That's Patrick Palfrey, Senior Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse. Let's just take a quick check of the markets this morning as concerns about coronavirus continue to feel their effects across markets. S&P futures are lower by almost 84 points now. That's a drop of 2.5%. Dow futures down 740 points. NASDAQ futures lower by just about 3%, point loss of almost 280 points. DAX in Germany down 3.5%. CAC in Paris down 3.7%. FTSE MIB in Italy down close to 4.5%. And the 10-year Treasury yield 1.39%, the 2-year 1.28%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are tumbling as the coronavirus outbreak spreads around the world. Cases are surging outside of China, with South Korea reporting more than 200 new infections just today. We get the very latest there from Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann.
We're talking 20 to 30 fold in the numbers in a week in South Korea. And the government over the weekend did raise that disease alert level to the highest red alert right now. We heard from the finance ministry. They will be announcing, they say, extraordinary measures.
Stocks in South Korea led declines in the region, with a Kospi down 3.9%.
Meantime, in Europe, Italy is now the epicenter of the outbreak, and that has the government there locking down an area of 50,000 people near Milan. Bloomberg's Gerald Colton is in Milan and brings us the very latest.
A series of towns in a province near Milan are in a severe lockdown. Citizens aren't allowed to leave and people aren't allowed to go in. The police are surrounding the area, and we've heard some reports that military may also be dispatched to that area. So lockdown is quite an accurate term. It's not overblown for the area just south of here.
Italian stocks are leading declines in Europe, with the FTSE MIB down 4.5% in Milan. Benchmark indexes in Germany, France, and the UK are all down more than 3%.
Meantime, in China, infections continue to climb. We get the very latest there from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
China adds 409 new cases and reports 150 more deaths. President Xi calls on China to spare no effort in saving Beijing. On a positive note, six Chinese provinces have lowered emergency levels, including Guangdong. In business, Cathay Pacific Airways will reduce around 40% of capacity, and Air New Zealand warns its earnings will take a hit. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. And as global equities plunge, we're seeing a strong flight to safety. Gold is surging, oil is tumbling, and Treasury yields are plummeting, with the 30-year trading at close to a record low, 1.85%.
S&P futures are down 86 points this morning. Dow futures down 766, and NASDAQ futures down 290. The DAX in Germany is down 3.6%, CAC in Paris down 3.8%, and the FTSE 100 down 3.33%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.5%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back with a check of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Crowds lined up outside a giant stadium in western India today as President Trump visits the country for the first time. A huge reception greeted the president's start of a 36-hour visit in a 110,000-seat cricket stadium.
The First Lady and I have just traveled 8,000 miles around the globe to deliver a message to every citizen across this nation. America loves India, America respects India, and America will always be faithful and loyal friends to the Indian people.
The two sides will aim to reset relations that have been buffeted by a trade spat. The judge in Roger Stone's request for a retrial has refused to recuse herself from the case. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Judge Amy Berman Jackson saying it was not warranted. The Republican operative's attorney said in a late Friday filing that statements the judge made about the jury during a sentencing hearing show a strong bias. The judge who sentenced Stone on Thursday to 40 months in prison has yet to rule on his request for retrial. His attorneys say Stone's request for a new trial is based on claims of juror misconduct during the trial. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's top security aide says he sees no evidence that Russia is interfering in the 2020 U.S. election in an effort to support the president's reelection bid. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien spoke on ABC's This Week.
The only thing I've seen were the press reports on this House Intel briefing, which are secondhand. I don't know if they were leaked out or how the papers got those. So that's the only thing I've seen, but I have not seen that in the presidential daily briefs and my conversations with Director Haspel.
Haspel is in CIA Director Gina Haspel. Meanwhile, O'Brien says it would be no surprise if Moscow was trying to help Senator Bernie Sanders win the election. You can hear ABC's This Week every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says emailed bomb threats were made to at least 19 Jewish community centers around the country, including one that prompted an evacuation in Albany. Cuomo says expressions of hate appear to be on the upswing.
We've had about 42 incidents of anti-Semitism in this state in just the past couple of months. So it's not getting better. It's only getting worse.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Just before 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stanshire.
Nathan Rosefield, there are a couple keys to Mets success this season. Better bullpen, and Jeurys Familia pitched a scoreless inning yesterday. And a healthy Yoenis Cespedes, who yesterday reversed course from last week when he had told reporters he wouldn't speak to them all season. He did speak and was asked about his health. Here's the interpreter.
First of all, I feel good. I'm happy with the progress. Every day I'm still working to get better and better. It's not as fast as I want it to be, but as the season approaches, I'm feeling like I'm really good right now.
Cespedes missed all of last season. Miguel Andujar missed all but a few games for the Yankees. He homered yesterday. Andujar has lost his third base job, seemingly, to Gio Urshela, but says he'll play another position. Yankees lost to the Rays 9-7, Mets and Cardinals a 3-3 tie. Islanders beat San Jose at the Coliseum 4-1, two goals for Anders Lee. Seton Hall's 20th win of the year, 81-65 over St. John's. Rutgers' road woes continue, a 79-71 loss at Wisconsin. Manhattan blew an 18-point halftime lead, lost by one to Canisius. Mack wins for Monmouth and St. Peter's in overtime in the NEC. Wagner won at St. Francis. Lakers beat the Celtics by a point. Now get ready for tonight's Kobe Bryant Memorial Service at the Staples Center. Patrick Reed won the World Golf Challenge in Mexico by one shot over Bryson DeChambeau, by two over John Rahm. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the coronavirus stressing China's fragile financial system. Tracy Alloway wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You have a lot of people here who have basically tied their careers, their money, their lives to the growth of China and its integration into the world economy. And now there seems to be a little bit of doubt creeping in as to whether that might happen to the extent or at the pace that a lot of people had expected or hoped.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can get a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio. Watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device at YouTube.com. Search Bloomberg Global News. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is proposing a 30-day budget amendment he says will speed up the permitting and construction of new renewable energy products. Cuomo says the plan would create a new Office of Renewable Energy Permitting to streamline the consenting process for big projects across New York. A bill proposed in the New Jersey legislature would require licensing for crypto businesses that operate in the state. It would also require them to disclose any fictitious or trade names they use and the details of any anti-money laundering and counter-terror financing measures they're taking. United Technologies opened up a new engine plant this month. The company says its new 9,000-square-foot research facility in East Hartford will make Pratt & Whitney jet engines cleaner, quieter, and more efficient. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. United Airlines will lift its bag fee to $35 starting March 6th.
I'm Steve Poduskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're looking at the challenge Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods face as ag giant Cargill gets into the faux meat business.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio here in London. We're reporting on plans for drive-through screening in the UK for coronavirus.
I'm Tom Busby, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on a biotech startup that's working on life-saving cancer treatments for your pets.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford wants buyers of its new Bronco to load up on accessories.
Those are some of the stories. Our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following today. Barclays search for a new CEO. According to the Financial Times, Jess Staley told colleagues he expects to leave the firm by the end of next year. Barclays chief is under investigation for his ties to late financier and sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Warren Buffett is giving Berkshire Hathaway investors a look at the future. In his annual letter, the chairman says we'll be hearing more from his top executives, Ajit Jain and Greg Abel. They are seen as top contenders to eventually replace Buffett, who is 89 years old. Futures on Wall Street plunging. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Command Financial. At Command Financial, they're redefining financial printing by providing industry-leading expertise, leveraging technology and honing processes and best practices. To learn more, visit commandfinancial.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are tumbling globally alongside U.S. stock index futures as nations struggle to keep the coronavirus epidemic from spreading further beyond China. Treasuries are jumping along with gold, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 89 points this morning. That's down 2.7%. Dow futures down 794 points, and NASDAQ futures down 306. The DAX in Germany is down 3.7%. 10-year Treasury up 24 32nds, yield 1.38%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.27%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.6%, or $1.92 to $51.47 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 2.3%, up $38 at $16.86.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.0817 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2906. And the yen is at 111.32. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump is receiving the well wishes of hundreds of thousands of Indians as he kicks off a whirlwind 36-hour visit to India. Trump addressed a mega rally at a huge cricket stadium earlier today. South Korea reported another large jump in coronavirus cases a day after the president called for unprecedented powerful steps to combat the outbreak. 161 new cases brings South Korea's total to 763 cases, and two more deaths raise its toll to seven. In China, the total of cases is now at 77,150. This afternoon, fans will gather to honor NBA legend Kobe Bryant. The public memorial for Bryant and his daughter Gianna will take place at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. As for NBA games Sunday, the Celtics, Wizards, and Warriors all lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. And joining us now from London, Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, as we watch equity indices add to losses on fears of coronavirus spreading outside China. What's standing out to you this morning in this deep market sell-off, Michael?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. Well, it's really the usual suspects, and a lot of them had already started to come off at the tail end of last week, and it's pretty, you know, the airline sector, the leisure sector, travel sector and what have you. We've got International Consolidated Airlines, which is British Airways. They're down 7%. We've got Ryanair down 10%, EasyJet down 11%, both budget airlines here in the UK. Lufthansa is down 6%, over 6%. And then you've got Intercontinental Hotels, who own Holiday Inn. They're down 6.5%. So it is the usual suspects, along with obviously the basic resource sector, as concerns about impacts to supply chains and global demand hit oil prices and commodity prices in general. So it's a pretty broad-based sell-off, and I think there's potential for an awful lot more to go. And actually, I'm surprised it's taken so long for investors to wake up to the risks that this coronavirus could bring to the global economy, because let's face it, it's not really a new phenomenon. We've been talking about it for the last month or so.
So what explains the violent reaction that we're seeing this morning, given that coronavirus has been something that the markets have been watching since it broke out in Wuhan more than a month ago?
It's quite simple, really, Nathan. It's because it's spread beyond Asia. It's broken out in Italy. Northern Italy is in lockdown. You know, a lot of towns in northern Italy are in quarantine. And northern Italy is really the economic engine of the Italian economy. And let's not forget, in Q4, the Italian economy contracted. So if you've got northern Italy in shutdown, that's bad news, not only for Italy, but it's also bad news for Europe and the European economy in general, because it's going to be very, very difficult for European countries to limit movements of people throughout the continent when you have free movement of people as part of the single market. So the big question is, can they contain this outbreak of the coronavirus? And if they can't, how far across Europe is it going to spread?
You know, there had been talk even before the coronavirus reached Europe that there was going to be a need for fiscal stimulus in the eurozone due to the possibility of further global economic slowdown over and above what's happening now. Does that put more pressure on governments to do something about this with coronavirus now at their doorstep?
It will put more pressure on them, but I'm not sure how any sort of new fiscal stimulus will help. Ultimately, an awful lot of the economic recovery that we've seen over the course of the past 12 to 18 months has been very consumer-led. Well, if you have a pandemic, the first thing you do is you lock down the movement of people and you put them in quarantine, and that prevents them from going out and spending money. It prevents them from going out and being productive. So ultimately, I think for me, a fiscal stimulus isn't likely to help in the short to medium term. In the long term, it might have an economic benefit, but it's certainly not going to help stock valuations in the short term. And ultimately, I think what investors are going to have to get used to is the fact that we're going to get an awful lot more profit warnings over the course of the next few weeks and months as economic activity across Europe gets hit quite substantially. I mean, we've got anecdotal reports already that consumers are holding back. I'll give you a good example here in the UK. Bicester Village in Oxford is a very favourite destination for Chinese tourists. 90% drop in footfall over the course of the last 2 or 3 months, simply because when over Chinese New Year, Chinese people tend to travel, they haven't been doing that. So they're not going out, they're not shopping, and as a result, you're seeing retailers getting hit as well.
And we are obviously seeing the equity market hit this morning, certainly. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, with us from London this morning. Thanks so much for your insights. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Marriott International lost its bid to dismiss customers' claims over a massive data breach. A federal judge ruled that customers' injury allegations are adequate. A federal judge in Nevada tossed data breach claims against Envision Healthcare, saying a plaintiff's damage allegations were inadequate. President Trump's judicial appointments are among the reasons the federal judiciary submitted a request to Congress for a 4.4% budget increase.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching involves crowdfunding platform Kickstarter. Employees there have voted narrowly to form a union, making it one of the first major U.S. tech companies to do so. For more on the significance of this, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with labor law expert Lawrence Mischel, distinguished fellow at the Economic Policy Institute.
So would collective bargaining in tech companies then be not about the wages themselves, an hourly wage, but about health benefits, vacation, things like that?
Well, yes. And, you know, one of the things that every collective bargaining agreement has, which is called a just cause clause, which means that, you know, under our law, employers are able to fire people for no reason, good reason, or a bad reason. And something not right about that. And in collective bargaining, there's always a just cause clause, which means that there has to be a legitimate performance reason for people to be fired, and there has to be progressive discipline. The punishment has to meet, you know, the performance problem, and that the first thing is not to be fired. First, you usually get a notice. Secondly, you may be suspended. You know, third, you may be fired, you know, and so you get a chance to prove. You work with the supervisor, the union, and the supervisors can work together to oversee this, to rehabilitate somebody. I have experience of this as an employer myself. Sometimes it's worked, you know, very well, and frequently we're able to have people leave the firm who weren't performing well through that process.
Has the legal trend been to diminish union rights? For example, the Supreme Court case a few years ago that reversed a 40-year decision on whether a union worker would have to pay fees.
Yeah, an agency fee for being at the union. There have been, over the last 40 years, a wide array of things that have made it much harder for people to unionize, but some of it is actually just weaponizing things that have been in the law forever. So, for instance, it is illegal for an employer to fire somebody for unionizing, but the penalty for doing so is very minimal. It basically, the employer has to post something on their bulletin board saying, I shouldn't have done it. They offer the worker back the job, which they may not have a resolution of this for 5-7 years, but the money they get paid back is all the money they lost, the worker lost, minus all the money they earned. So it's very little because everyone has to go out and get another job. So it actually makes a lot of economic sense, even though it's illegal, for employers to fire someone. And in 30% of the union drives, employers actually do fire people illegally.
And that's Lawrence Mischel, distinguished fellow at the Economic Policy Institute, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Again, futures are falling this morning with S&P futures down 93 points, Dow futures down 820. NASDAQ futures down 313, 10-year Treasury up 25.32, yield 1.38%, the yield on the 2-year 1.27%, and the 30-year yield at 1.83%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.7% at $51.42 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.